Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
I want you to get that. Yeah. Just mentioning that. Yeah. You know this is a heavy hand. This is a heavy hand. Okay? And then to follow up, what you ought to do. How many people ever tell you what you ought to do? Okay, all right, okay. Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Just mentioning this apostleship, but I just want to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul. I'm an old man. I'm reading it. Okay, yeah, that's what. Okay, help me out here if I get too simple. Wow. And what? Now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm just mentioning these things. Just mentioning these things. And what's this about? What Philemon ought to do. This is the apostle, an old man, in jail. Okay? All right. That I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. We're getting there. Okay, this is about Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. And how he met Paul or got to Paul, I don't know. He's a runaway slave. Yes, and that is bad. Well, I mean scary. He's a runaway slave. And how would a runaway slave make it to Paul in Rome from Colossae? I don't know. But it sure appears that that's what happened. Okay? And while he's at Rome with Paul, he is somehow converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is somehow saved. That's what he's become. What, my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains, and so there he is. I can just picture the Onesimus, however he got there, and why he would look Paul up. That's another thing. I don't know, but there he is. And one might say you can see the tracks of God all over this. How in the world this could happen? But there he is now. He has met Paul. Why he went there, we don't know. But now he's become a Christian, and more things than that have happened to him too. We'll see that. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Formerly, he was useless to you. What was wrong with the Onesimus? We don't know. But he was useless. He might have just been mad about having a master. I don't know. And you know, people have low jobs that don't require much. Sometimes they get that bovine look on their face. You know what I mean by that? And they just become dull, and life is uninteresting to them, and especially if you got somebody master telling you what to do. I work with guys on the railroad like that. That was the worst thing about being on the railroad. I love the railroad. That was great work. But they left the roundhouse thinking about how to be slow and get on overtime. Yeah, I mean, if one guy, we call him Rapid Robert. Matter of fact, he was married to your cousin. You know. You remember Rydell? Yeah. He'd be walking up, and you get on to him. He says, I got two speeds. And he said, if you don't like this one, I know you're not going to like the other one.
Yeah, that was the kind of thing.
And of course, that's how he got the name Rapid Robert. Okay. So, you know, I don't know why he was useless to Philemon, but Onesimus was just useless to Philemon. And of course, he didn't want to be there because he ran away. And now, by the way, let me emphasize how serious it is. Slave in a Roman world, probably during this time, there were 60 million slaves. And the one thing that Romans were afraid of is what? An uprising in the slaves. That's what they were afraid of. Yeah. And so this is a big thing, him running away. Yeah, it's a big thing. Okay. But now he became useful both to you and to me. Now, whatever, I'm going to tell you later what I think Onesimus does or can do. Okay, but somehow he's become profitable to Paul. Not only is he profitable back home to Philemon, but he's profitable to Paul. And the question is, what in the world would he do for Paul? That's a good question. Okay, I think it is. I am sending him, Onesimus, back to you, back to Philemon. I'm sending him, and what? Who is my heart? Paul really loves the guy. And he's trying to impress this upon Philemon. How much I love this guy. My very heart. Back to you. I would have liked to, what? Who said that? Keep him. Thank you. I would like to keep him. I would like to keep him. Okay. With me so that he could. You see that too. Here it goes again. Here it goes again. So he went, take your place. You're not here. He could take your place here. Yeah, that's Onesimus. Take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. Okay. I think it was a stenographer. I think he could write, and Paul needed somebody to write for him. Always, Paul needed somebody to write for him all the time. Did everybody know why? Yeah, his eyesight, which you would think anyway, but it had to be eyesight because he says somewhere else, look how big. I write this with my own hand. Look how big letters I write. In other words, he had to write real big so he could see it, and. I'm sorry? Yeah, we'll put it down to that. But whatever it was, somehow Onesimus was of great value to him. And, of course, it would be getting the gospel out in some form. And I think he was a stenographer. Okay, let's go to the next one. But I did not want to do anything without your consent. It would be stealing too, actually, because Onesimus would be the property of Philemon, and that would be stealing. Okay. Yeah. Anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Oh, what's the favor? You see, he never said that. What you ought to do and the favor. Yeah, I just okay. I'm okay. Are you getting this? If anything, what you should get out of this is Paul. You're not going to get a great deal of theology out of this, but you do get an insight into Paul and his conniving. His conniving ability. Okay, would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. Amen. Yeah. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. This is a big deal. What I mean is the thinking of Paul to even think in this area is a really big deal. Okay? And what's the area? That he is not a slave so much as he is what now? A brother in Christ. That's a big deal. To start seeing some sense of equality. Thank you. I don't know. It won't take off there. But say, a dear brother, he is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man. This is important to me, okay? How Paul is looking at him now. He looks at him what? As a person and as a brother in the Lord. That's the first time you had him as a person there in that sentence, okay? So that, I mean, this is a big deal. In just the thinking and looking. Now, remember, when Paul would write to a church in the relationship between slaves and masters, he didn't want to like to try to dissolve that or interrupt that. He stayed writing that theme to get some social coherence, okay, and social stability. All right, where he says, "Slaves, obey your masters," or something of that nature, okay. But here, you get Paul actually views the slave as what? A person. That's brand new. And in the church, a brother. I'm using in the church now because we can't tell what the whole surrounding community would be, but in here, you're a brother or sister, which says what? Equality. This is a big deal. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as what? You'd welcome me. Okay, he's laying it on Philemon. How are you to receive Onesimus? Are you just sending him to the woodshed and beat him for leaving you and treating him terrible? No. What is he telling him? Receive him as you would receive me. An apostle, you receive him as you would receive an apostle. Okay? If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. He may have stolen something too. We don't know. You would think with that kind of message there, okay? But he said, but what is Paul asking him? To forget anything that's owed. Wipe it off the books. You don't wipe it off the books. Put it on whose account? Put it on Paul's account. Put it on his. Yeah. Mark that up to Paul. Charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you own. There's a little theme through the whole letter so far, right? Are you getting it? Yeah. Oh, all right. I'm glad you can see that. Paul is pulling out every weapon he has. He's writing it down. Okay, he's not going to miss it. And that ought to be somewhat freeing to you, wouldn't it? Seriously, that if this great man knows how to do this stuff. One teacher I had early on in teaching this book said, "This is a very good treatment in psychology here," is what it is. It is. Okay, let's go to the next slide. "I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord." What benefit does he want? What benefit does he want? "Refresh my heart in Christ." Again, I think Paul wants Onesimus. He's only sending him back because he's got to. He can't keep somebody slave. And maybe before he gets him sent back, that Philemon will send him a letter telling him, keep him. Just keep him. But wait a minute. Paul's not done yet. He's got one more big one. He's got one more big gun he's going to pull out here. Go ahead. I don't know. I would say Tychicus, but I don't know. I think I pronounced that name wrong every time, but I think that's the guy. But we don't have that. And remember, they've been having this going back and forth for some time. All right. All right, let's go to the next slide. Conclusion. "Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers." I think it's a threat. "I'm going to come visit." Now, this is a guy who's locked up in Rome. Prepare. I think this is a veiled threat here. I'm going to come there. And by golly, you better do what you ought to do. Yeah. I'm sorry? Does Philemon have the right to? Oh, yes. Yes, he would. I'm glad you brought that up in. We have a record of, and the worst thing that could happen in there is a slave kill a master. That's the worst thing that could happen. We have a record. I'll tell you how afraid they were of the slaves, number one, and what lengths they would go. I'm talking about Romans now, to enforce slavery. They not only killed the person, the slave, but they killed the whole household, and I think there was 100 slaves in there that they killed of the household. They were property. It'd be like a dog. Oh yes, to us they are. That's what I think. It was a big thing when Paul said, "This is a man, and your brother." That was a big thing. Persons, no. A property. Stock. No. Wait a minute. Yes, slavery was common. There were probably 60 million slaves at this time. Yes. Did that add to social stability? Yes. Okay. Is that where you stay and live? No. You're always growing in understanding of the Lord and understanding of love for other people. That's why this is such a big thing for Paul to say this in that first century. This is a big thing for him to say. I thought when I read the sentence, a man, your brother, oh, that covers the whole gamut right there. First of all, you recognize him as a person. That's the first thing you do. Second, you recognize him as an equal. Well, we don't know. But Paul's got, Paul, go ahead, Lisa. That's a good way to say it. It's part of the walls coming. That's an excellent way to put it. Yeah. And you should have walls that are coming down too in your life. We have not arrived completely. Yeah, you should have those walls coming down. So that was I think the last real zap that he wants to get. Again, let me say, I think Paul wants Onesimus to be with him. And they're getting along fabulously. And I think Paul says that he is useful to me. So somehow he has a talent or a gift that really is feeding in to Paul's work, what he wants. And I think it is, he's a stenographer. How valuable would that be, a slave that can read and write? I mean, that would be awesome to have. Okay, we'll go to the next one. I think we're about the end. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Demas, Luke, my fellow worker. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that ends the book. I think there's, 25 verses? 25 verses. Go ahead. Go ahead. I think he was only writing that little part in there, and the part was like signing a check. Yeah, I think it was like, I'm glad you brought that. I think that was like signing a check, that this is my signature. I think that's what he meant there. Again, Paul's not fooling around here, but he is. I think, again, we're left with, what ought Philemon do? Well, welcome Onesimus back. Yes, forget what he did. Yes, but I think beyond that, Paul wanted Onesimus. I think he wanted him. Okay, and Paul, he loved Timothy, but he left Timothy to pastor churches and that kind of thing. So he might be missing that, and he calls him his son. Okay, go ahead. That's good. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. But and reason you wouldn't want Paul writing, okay, is because he would write so big, and if it's a big volume, like maybe Romans, you use all this paper, which was very, very expensive. And somebody had to be buying that paper. Yeah. Good point. That's excellent. All right. Yeah, Cindy. Timothy is with Paul. I would say just a Roman citizen. Paul is in, do we have any of those maps yet? Okay, that's okay, okay. Paul is in Rome, okay, and Philemon is in Colossae. Our best bet. I mean, that's our best bet, okay? Doesn't say that exactly, but that's our best bet. Who, Philemon? I would say he's a Roman citizen because he has slaves, but I don't know. Yes. Yeah.
We've got to look at kingdom thinking to all of believers. And here, that's why you could say we're not Jew nor Gentile, we're not slave, we're free, no male nor female. And so we understand that we are slaves to sin. And so we're being set free. And so he's telling them, you've got to live the gospel as we've been set free. You need to let the slave be free.
Yes. And yeah, and what I'm saying is just the idea of him saying a man and then a brother is putting seeds down for the future that are just tremendous when you figure the implications of that. And then how does that look if I live that out in the world is where you come to with that. Okay? Any more? Go ahead. And I love this part too. He moved him from being useless to being useful. But not as a tool or an instrument, okay? But as a person. Yes. And that was the idea of brother. That's why it's so important that he added brother on there too, because that's equality. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he would not have been known as a runaway slave. They'd have took him right away. Okay. But he probably came to Paul and confessed that. Yeah, this is some kind of arrangement that it's hard for me to think about. But my understanding is that Paul had to pay for the place, the rent on the place where he was at. Okay, not to be in the prison itself. Okay. He had to pay for that, and then also had to pay for a guard that was with him all the time. Yes. Yeah. And I think, let me pick up on that, what Cindy mentioned. I think we very often do not understand the importance of being a Roman citizen and the value that that had in that day. I think sometimes we miss it. Paul wouldn't use that a lot, but he would bring it up once in a while. Especially the interaction with the guard in Jerusalem, where the guard said, it cost me a lot of money. He didn't say that, but it would just cost him a lot for him to become a Roman citizen. And Paul replies there, I was barn free. That's a great line there. Did we get to that enough? Okay. That's a good rendition. I like that one. That's a good rendition, yeah. I hadn't thought about him going there to get Paul to settle that dispute, but I could see that. And he does appear, Onesimus does appear to be very intelligent. Yeah, although we don't have his word, but he seemed to be very intelligent. Yeah, and I guess I had the motivation in Paul's corner, making amends, so Paul could not be thievery of stealing Onesimus, but get him back and get him out from under whatever debt burden that he had created in leaving too. Yes.
For the slave, obviously saw the gospel preached, and said, man, I'm talking to this man of God because
Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that could be fine. I didn't hear him motivated to become a Christian, but very well could be it. But I did hear him motivated Onesimus to get that debt relieved, okay? And there might have been a price on his head, too, to get that off and that kind of thing. Yeah. But that was dangerous to get there. Okay, that's Philemon. Such as it is. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. We only spent a while, about 40 minutes on that. So, but that's okay. That's okay. Let me go over my notes just to make sure. Yeah. Okay. Now we're gonna pick up. My target date is September the 8th. September the 8th. I wanted to wait till after Labor Day, so that I could feel like summer's over. Okay. Yes, we're gonna see how that goes. I'm gonna go to work on that right away. What we said last time, that should be the 8th. It's my lovely bride's birthday. Okay. Is great Bible stories. And so I jotted down 12. Do you want to add some for consideration? I need a pen too, by the way. If we're going to have, thanks. You know what I found out? I really like the stories about women. So I got a lot of women in my stories, okay? Oh man, Val, we have to work this out because I'm really heavy in Old Testament stories, okay? Yeah, just from what here's what I did. I took my Bible. Ruth is on it. Okay, I just started flipping through the Bible and let the stories happen. Okay, I'll tell you what I got. If you don't have any, okay, I'll tell you why. The widow at Zarephath. Abigail. The widow's oil. Elisha and the servant that could not see. Esther. Gideon. Ruth. Rahab. Bathsheba. No, we don't have a Jezebel. Lazarus. Now it's a New Testament. I got three New Testaments. All I got: Lazarus, the prodigal son, and the parable of the talent. That's 12. I made a note. Just one we can't do without. Give me one we can't do without. Yeah, I didn't want to do any of the really large stories, okay? Like the Exodus, Joseph stories, really among the story. Yeah, I wanted to keep more than what I thought we could probably do decent within the hour time, okay? And I just have three now, four, and that is the Lazarus. We raise Lazarus from the dead. Parable of the lost son. Parable of the talents and then 10 virgins. So before New Testament, that's 13 stories. We shouldn't leave here with 13 stories. We should at least have 14 stories, okay? I did not. Let's see what we can do with Daniel. We'll see where we're at then, okay? Let's see. Okay, so that'll give us 14 stories, and only 4 New Testament stories, okay? So I don't know where it falls. I didn't think about putting any dates on these, and they are not in order of importance either. They're more of a biblical order. But there's no order to them. Okay, I mean there's no order to them. Okay, we're good.
Yes, very good.
Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for.